Mary, did you know? You know, I had some thoughts about it, but the Lord had changed the direction he wanted to go. But you know, let me just show out this thought. I think there were some things that Mary did know, because mothers, they know some things about their kids, right? Based upon the fact of what the angel Gabriel had declared and spoken to her. But I think some of the things, most of the things she did not know. But how she knew was when she raised Jesus and she began to notice certain things about Jesus, you know. She began to have knowledge of those things. And I don't think she knew to the extent that who Jesus was and what he would do, you know. Can you imagine listening to his prayer life, this young baby boy? The Bible said he was without sin, right? I mean, he grew strong with wisdom, right? And he grew with favor amongst men as a little boy. So being that he was sinless, he was basically a mom's best child that they could have, right? He did no wrong because he didn't have that sin nature. And his prayer life. Can you imagine Mary listening to his prayer life? The realization that, yes, this is her son, her child, but this is God. God in the flesh, right? Did you guys hear Judah trying to sing? We have a praise and worshiper in the making. Praise the Lord. But yeah, you know, just some thoughts about that. I like what Tiny Tim said in the movie called Scrooge. Anybody ever watch Scrooge? He says, Merry Christmas. God bless us, everyone. Amen. So I want to say Merry Christmas to all of you, and God bless us, everyone. Amen. And you know, and our children are here with us in service, and I have a few thoughts, and I'll try to compact this hours of studying into half an hour as best I can. All right. But you know, the month of December, you know, no doubt that many people are focused on trees and decorations and decorating of the trees and, you know, company parties, family dinners, get-togethers, you know. I mean, everything that we enjoy doing, because that's what we call the season of Christmas, right? And that's what makes Christmas so beautiful and so bright. It's one of my favorite holidays, and probably yours, right? And probably your second best holiday is your birthday, right? I remember a family was sitting down having their Christmas lunch, and the mother looked to her young 9-year-old child and said, Susie, did you get all that you wanted for Christmas? And she thought for a while, she thought and thought, and she said, you know what, Mom? I did it. But that's all right. It's not my birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. But we know that the very heart of Christmas is Jesus, right? The true reason for the season is not just a cute cliche that we say. But most importantly, it's about keeping Christ, the anointed one, in our Christmases. And that's where our focus ought to be. That we get to celebrate Christmas. Today is Christmas Day. It's his birthday. And we get to celebrate his birthday. Because it's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? The birth of Jesus Christ. When the very essence and presence, the presence of the Son of God, vacated the throne, his throne, and came to invade Earth's atmosphere. So when we talk about the season of Christmas, we're talking about Christ, the celebration of the Anointed One, the essence of his presence invaded this atmosphere we call Earth. So what we sense and what we feel, you know, a sense of joy, peace, love, faith, you know, we feel that, we sense that. It's because the presence of Christmas has invaded this atmosphere. Because unto us a child has been born, unto us a son has been given. Not any child, not any son. It was the child of God, the Son of God. I think the message says, unto us a child has been given, a son of a gift has been given unto us. A gift. God in human flesh chose to come and dwell amongst his people, his creation, mankind. Isn't that wonderful? That he would leave his throne, empty himself of his divinity, and come here to earth and dwell amongst his own creation, human beings. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 14, I know it's a long verse, scripture, but it's basically Luke's account of the birth of Christ. And it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census or registration should be taken of the entire Roman world. The census began way back then. And basically, the census was to be taken so that they could keep track if people were paying their taxes, and to keep a roll of men who would be able to be enlisted in the army. And being that the Jewish were never allowed to be a part of any kind of war or battle, but they were demanded to pay taxes. The government hasn't changed. That was just a joke. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Joseph belonged to the royal line of David. His heritage, his genealogy was tied into David, Joseph. Now, if you look at Mary's genealogy, she also was tied in to the lineage and the royalty of David. Both of them. Is that a coincidence? No. It was a divine appointment by God. He went there to register with Mary, who pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Now, this is just a thought. This was one of many prophecies that was spoken and fulfilled 700 years before the birth of Christ. Yeah, this was prophesied way before it even happened. In fact, Peter tells us that no prophecy has been given from personal experience by man, or produced or manufactured by a man. But men who spoke from God were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men who were moved by the Holy Ghost inspired to prophesy, such as Isaiah. In Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah prophesies, "For unto us a child is born." It speaks of the Messiah's humanity. He comes as a human being in a form of a child. "Unto us a son is given." It implies the Savior's deity, that the Son is God, the third person of the Trinity of God. He existed before his birth, and the government will be laid upon his shoulder, which affirms his lordship in the future tense as he will become the supreme ruler. He will reign and rule over all authority, all kingdoms and governments of this world and of heaven. And his name shall be great. His name shall be called Wonderful. Notice the different names he's called by. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for the Son of God. I remember hearing a story. Anybody ever heard of Zig Ziglar? He's a Christian motivational speaker. And he made this funny comment about having no room in the inn. And he talks about his experience where he would travel oftentimes throughout the States, and oftentimes he would come to a hotel and he would be told there is no room or there is no vacancy. And what he would tell them is, well, you know, I'm sure if the president showed up, you know, the president of the United States, if he showed up, I'm pretty sure you guys would be able to get him a room, right? They said, certainly. So he would say, well, he's not here, so why don't I take his room? Well, you're not the president. In verse 8, then, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Wouldn't you be terrified as well? But the angel said to them, notice what he says, do not fear, or do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Everybody say, all the people. And that includes us. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in the manger, or a trough, a feeding trough. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on the earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. His favor rests. Everybody say, his favor rests on me. How many of you know God's favor can do for you what money cannot? Some of us are praying for money. I need more money, Lord. But we need to pray for God's favor. Yeah. Favor can do for you that money cannot do for you. Favor will open doors for you. Favor will put you in places and positions that money cannot. Amen. And there's somebody who needs to hear that God's favor rests on you today. Yeah, the Bible says he will bless the righteous with favor and he shall encompass them as a shield. So how do I receive that favor, Pastor? Well, speak it, believe it, declare it. God's favor rests on me. Yeah, when people meet me, they first encounter the favor of God upon my life, that they cannot help but do favors for me. They go out of their way to do favors for me. Unprecedented, uncommon favor comes my way each and every day. That's how favor works in your behalf. Amen? When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So this morning, I just want to talk to you about, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Just imagine how spectacular and glorious that night must have been when Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, right? The consolation of Israel, the Redeemer and Savior of the world, was born. Can we just lift our hands for a few seconds and give God thanks and praise for Him coming and willing to come? Amen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you love the Father enough to leave your place in heaven and to come here amongst your people. So we thank you today. Amen. Think about this. When Jesus was born, he divided history into two categories, BC and AD. Amen. This is not some kind of, thing where your energy level is out of control, you know. Before Christ, BC meaning before Christ, as in Jesus Christ, which indicates the number of years before the birth of Jesus. AD stands in Latin, the Latin phrase, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, used to mark the years after the birth of Christ. So the point is, Jesus divided the centuries. The gospel message of Jesus Christ to this very day still continues to influence and transform lives for the better. How many of you can say, God has transformed my lives for the better? Especially when you consider these facts. Jesus never wrote a book. Yet more books have been written and published about him than any other person in history. The Bible, which is the inspired word of God, is considered the most popular enduring historical biography ever written and read in history. It's about him. This book is about him. This is his biography. If you want to know about Jesus, read the Bible. This is his revealed word. Amen. Translated in every known existing language. Think about that. Including Braille. To those who are blind, the Bible has been made available to them. This book has been praised. This book has been cursed, restricted, banned, desecrated. People have sweared on it and sweared at it, burned and fought over, and yet lives have been radically changed because of this book. Jesus never painted a picture, never wrote a poem, or composed a song. Yet a number of songs of praise and of worship, and also of the old and traditional hymns that I like, have been written and sung about him. Remember Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me? How about How Great Thou Art? Amazing Grace, Doxology. What we heard today, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Light in the Darkness, right? My God, that is who he is. Now think of the art, the music, the literature, the sculptures, the movies, the videos. We can go on and on that have been made about this man called Jesus Christ. He never raised up an army or led an army, yet millions have chosen to lay down their lives sacrificially for his cause in spreading of the gospel. His travels, Jesus went a few miles by foot with his disciples from his birthplace to different towns around. The Bible says he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and disease amongst the people, and performing all kinds of miracles. Do you need a miracle today? Jesus still performs miracles today. Jesus' influence is felt and known by many. When Jesus spoke, he never spoke at one or to more than a few thousand of people. But today, over 45%, maybe even more, of the world's population names his name and serves him faithfully. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Unto us a child has been given. Unto us a son has been born. Think about this. Jesus never owned any property. And yet he made the whole world. The Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Can you imagine that? When he wanted to sail, he borrowed Peter's boat. When he fed the 10,000, he borrowed a little boy's lunch. When he needed a ride, he borrowed a donkey. When he needed to pay taxes, he borrowed a coin and found it in the mouth of a fish. Amen? We're talking about the man called Jesus. And there are buildings built all over the face of this world. We call churches or synagogues, right? Churches like ours who come together as believers, the body of Christ. We come to praise and we come to worship and glorify his holy name. The great historian Kenneth Scott LaTurrette said Jesus has made more of an effect on the history of all mankind and still does. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, therefore God has elevated him, everybody say elevated, to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. And God has kept his word. He has kept his promise that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is a present help in a time of trouble. Jesus is a friend to the friendliness. A faithful friend who sticks closer to you than a brother. Yes, he is my Lord. Yes, he is my Savior. Yes, he is my King. But I also look at him as my big brother. A physician and healer to the sick and to the diseased. A mender of the broken and troubled heart. A psychiatrist to the confused. He is a husband to the widower. A father to the fatherless. David said, when my father and mother abandon me, the Lord himself shall take me up as his own. He is the I am that I am, as we heard. Yeah. He is the compass to the weary traveler, the bright and morning star to those who walk in darkness. He is the deliverer of every addiction and habit. He is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost with fire to everyone who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He is the victor for the voice of the victims. He is the peace and the soundness to the one whose mind is tormented with fear. He is the Savior. He is our rescuer from every sin and every bondage. Unto us, a child has been born. A son is given. Think about this. Many, many of us can complicate Christmas. You ever complicated Christmas? You know when you're complicating Christmas when you're stressed. You ever heard somebody say, you know, you try to explain something, they say, well, it's just too complicated. I've learned that when somebody tells you things are too complicated, it just tells me that they're confused. Yeah. That's what they're saying. I'm confused. But sometimes Christmas can be complicated to what it is instead of simplifying it. Many have commercialized Christmas. Yeah. They did it back then, during Jesus' days. The religious folks were selling and buying in the temple. They were making profits. What they did was they made it all about buying things and having more things. Instead of simply opening our hearts to the gift of forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. You see, Christmas, and some of you already know that, Christmas is all about the gift of His Son, which God gave. It's not the ones that we get, which is great sometimes, right? But it's the one that we receive. Think about this. Many can live a lifetime and never celebrate the true meaning, the essence of Christmas. Because Christmas is not about a season. It's not about a feeling, but it does affect our feelings. But Christmas is the celebration of the Anointed One. That's what Christmas means, Christmas, the celebration of the Anointed One. Yeah. It's all about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Unto us, a Savior has been born in the city of David, and He shall save His people from their sins. Emmanuel, God is with us, not only in Bethlehem, but He is with us here today, in us, right now. Amen. Well, Father God, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for Your word today, that it brings comfort and confidence and full assurance, Father God, that Jesus is truly the reason for this season. We celebrate the Anointed One and His anointing. We're so grateful, Father God, that Jesus has come. He has come, and now He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ever making intercession for us. And Father, we receive this gift today, the gift of Your Son, and we celebrate this gift. It's a celebration not only for one day of the month, but we can celebrate every single day. We thank You for the insights and the revelation that we receive, Lord, that You have already given us this gift and we receive it by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank You, Lord. That You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we bless You, Lord Jesus. We thank You that You would leave Your throne, that You would love the Father enough to leave Your throne and come here and dwell amongst us, Your creation. So we say happy birthday, Jesus. And we bless You and we thank You for the gift of life. We thank You for eternal life. We thank You for abundant life. We thank You for a glorious life that we have in Christ each and every day. And we bless You. We thank You. And the people of God say, amen, amen and amen. Now, let me say this. If you have never received Jesus, the gift of life, this gift that God has given us, right, to each and every one of us, you know, as Lambert said earlier, you know, for God so loved the world, you know, God so loved this world that he gave. God's a giving God. And God gave the most valuable and precious thing that he ever had. He had was his son, right? He didn't give us an angel. He didn't give us any other thing. There was nothing in heaven that was much more precious than his son, Jesus. And he saw that Jesus, the value of your life and the value of his son, right? That you are worth enough. You are worthy enough that his son would be given for you. That's how much value he saw in you. And Jesus saw the love that he had for each and every one of us. See, he saw the love of the Father that the Father had for each and every one of us. And that's what motivated, love is action, and that's what motivated him to come, because of his love for the Father, seeing the Father's love to each and every one of us in the world. And that's why he came, and that's why he left his throne. And if you have never received the gift of life, eternal life, everlasting life, you know, and if you feel in your heart you want to receive this gift of life, the gift of the Son, you know, just pray this with me. Everybody just pray. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would forgive me the way that I've lived my life and the things that I've done. Forgive me, Father. I receive Christ, the gift of your Son, as my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Take control of my heart from this day on. In Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen and amen. What if you receive Jesus, the gift of the Son, then you have received eternal life. You have been born again. Amen. And the Bible says all the angels are rejoicing in heaven when one comes home. You know, the Bible never says when one is healed or one experiences a miracle, all heaven rejoices. The only time heaven rejoices is when one comes home to the Lord. Amen. So all heaven is partying and rejoicing right now if you prayed that prayer and believed in your heart. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah.